This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Hail cheaters! Welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast, brought to you by Bet Online. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, we've taken the fantasy out of the Always Cheating Podcast, but we're injecting what are we injecting here? You laid the marker down, right? Like, yeah. How am I doing? I guess like it's fair to say I'm getting by. So the theme of today's episode is just flatly, how are we getting by? And by we, you, me, and our audience. So. Mm-hmm. We're going to attempt to have a feel-good episode of Always Cheating.
Certainly a feel-less-bad episode, if possible. I was wondering how people are getting by, how people are passing the time. It's been, you know, here in New York, where you and I live, it's been 5 weeks now of being at home, working from home, doing it, you know, in my case, with a three-year-old, which has been a lot. And, you know, it's just... I really wanted to, like most people, I spend all week reading about where we are with like testing and a billion other, you know, antibody tests and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, you know what, let's bring the tone up a little bit. Let's have like a little bit of fun on this week's podcast and just talk about what people are doing for fun during this time. And as we compiled these responses from our patrons and from people on Twitter, a lot of them really did cheer me up, and it made me feel like people are really finding a way to get by and to not, you know, to sort of just put their head down and get through this. And, you know, it's not going to last forever. Hopefully. And, you know, and so that's what this
I'm knocking wood right now.
Yeah,
Josh.
Exactly. This all. And so if you are in a situation where you're like, I'm 5 weeks in and I'm out of ideas, I'm out of everything. Hopefully you can listen to this podcast and it will spark some joy in you in a, life-changing magic of tidying up. Is that the name of that book?
Yeah, that's a great product placement for sponsor Marie Kondo. Outstanding. Yeah, if anyone out there is actually passing the time watching Marie Kondo's show on Netflix, I applaud you.
So the opening question, Brandon, we have a bunch of different responses and a bunch of different categories we'll get to in just a second. But the opening question, Brandon, just to get the ball rolling here for you and me and for the people listening to this podcast, so we're 5 weeks since, I guess it's actually been 6 weeks since the last match was played in the Premier League. You and I, as it turns out, we're in the final two matches of the season because we were at the Leicester Aston Villa match, and then we had seen the Manchester Derby, which was the day before that, which now feels Like, if you had told me that we saw that match about 17 months ago, I would believe you. That feels yeah, like,
right.
It does not feel like five weeks ago.
I posted a picture of me in front of Old Trafford on match day, Manchester Derby, on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And it was less than 4 weeks from that match. And even at that point, it felt like it had been like half a year had passed. And
it was actually called New Trafford then. That's how long it's been, Brandon.
Okay, that's like if when they make Akira 2, New Tokyo, and they'll go to New London Town, and New Trafford will be the purpose-built European Super League stadium there in New London Town.
So
I just came up with a great idea for a new anime.
You need to stop this podcast.
No one steal that idea.
Yeah, you need to stop this podcast and break out the your word processor right now. So what do you think? Okay, so my question to you is, you know, what do you think? And I there really is no definitive answer right now. And so this is we're in the realm of pure speculation, Brandon. But what do you think comes next in the Premier League in sports in general? And so I guess, let's start with sports in general. Which sport do you think comes back first? What's coming back first? Or maybe what league, you know? What league comes back if you can't think of the sport, you know?
I feel like golf is probably primed to come back pretty quickly because golf is kind of defined by open spaces and people being, you know, having a certain amount of distance between each other. So, and I can golf alone, and it's an honor system. Even in professional golf, I think they play on what is deemed the honor system. Mm-hmm. So I can send Tiger Woods out there by himself on the honor system, and he can play a sanctioned professional match of golf, and I think that's fine. Tennis, also something that you play by yourself, and you're inherently 6 feet away. No doubles, mind you, Josh. No doubles.
A lot of sweating, though, in tennis, and you are touching the balls a lot. And there are a lot of ball boys, too.
Good point.
You know? It would be fun to watch like Federer play Nadal in a match where they were fetching their own balls. Like running around, like grabbing them from the corner, and or doing what I used to do in high school, which is like I was such a bad server that I would just keep two tennis balls in my hand because I was so sure my first ball was going to be a fault that I would just like, be ready.
Now there would be the inevitable serve in which Federer gets he hits the ball so hard it gets stuck like in the chain link fence a little too high up, and they're like throwing their rackets at it to try and get it
out. You have to climb up the fence, and yeah.
I think golf probably makes the most sense, but if I had to put money down, I think baseball, and this is like an American centric point of view, but I can see the whole like pomp and circumstance of, you know, this American. I mean, obviously, coronavirus and all of this is a global issue. It's a pandemic. But I can see from an American perspective, they would want to reopen the world basically with a nice game of baseball.
Yeah. And you.
So if I put money down, I think it's baseball.
I guess they're all in like the dugout, but I guess you could space things out a little bit. You could play in an open air kind of way, maybe. I actually think it will be golf, though. I think that in the PGA has already announced that they're going to be coming back like June 2nd or the second or third week of June with like, you know, the John Deere Invitational or something. Like there's some golf match that's like a
another thing you can do on your own, mow the lawn.
That's true. A competitive sport could be, you know, two side by side. I mean, I think like UFC, there's things like that are like kind of on the sports entertainment, you know, spectrum that you might, WWF, obviously they did a WrestleMania happened, Brandon, a couple weeks ago.
But with no fans.
Yeah. But football, I think is really, you know, the Premier League in particular, I just don't know. I mean, like, you know, the president of England or the prime minister, excuse me. It's very American centric.
That's the old Americanism that's coming out. Yeah.
The prime minister of England. I mean, he just got out of the hospital. Right. I mean, you know, it's like, I know that doesn't mean everything, but it's like, if you're in a situation where your prime minister is just getting out of the hospital, you have clearly not like kicked this thing to the degree where you can just like start up in another week or two, you know? So, I don't think it looks great. This fanciful idea that, I mean, I guess I would love if it ever happened, but it just feels so hard to believe, you know, that like you would do all these matches at Wembley, you know, and do them like in the month of June or whatever, or just do them like, with, you know, with no stadiums. I don't know. I mean, I hope it happens. I'm not even thinking about fantasy right now, because I don't know how that's going to happen. I kind of just like, just give me something, you know, like just give me some kind of football, you know, and yeah, that'll be enough. You know, I can bet on it, you know, like just want some stakes, you know. We could start a little Patreon league, or, you know, who cares? Like, we could do something like that. You know, but just having anything. I mean, honestly, if golf comes back and it's the only sport that's back, I am going to be watching the hell out of every, I'm going to watch 8 hours a day. I'm going to watch so much golf. I don't even like to play golf, but I'm going to watch so much golf during that window. I'm going to know
your
like
subscription
every
to Golf Digest is in the mail, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. I've been subscribing to it for 20 years, Brent. I never read it, you know, but just on, you know, just in case one day.
Finally,
you know,
it'll come in handy.
Yeah.
Now, I am finding myself moving into the camp of, regarding the Premier League and a lot of these leagues with unfinished seasons, that we just have to scrap the season. And we were talking before we started recording about, I was on a family call today with my niece and nephews, and my niece is just graduating from high school. She's missing out on all these, you know, seminal experiences from the end of her high school education, like prom and orientation for her upcoming college and that sort of thing. And her young adult life is going to be defined by this. And you can choose to say, well, it's unfair, I missed out on these things, how are we going to rectify that? Or you can choose to say, it's kind of remarkable that you are in this era, you're of this time, and that you can be defined by it in ways that maybe as we go forward could be positive. And that's a grand way of saying, I'm sorry, Liverpool fans, but you guys will go in the history books of having one of the all-time great seasons that was cut short by a pandemic. And I think that's okay. If we don't finish the season, if a league title isn't handed out, I'm sorry if you're out. You know, these, Josh, I don't know if you know this, but money is ethereal. It's made up.
Yeah.
If we just say, you know, forget the money, tear up the broadcasting contracts, we have collectively decided as a global population that we're moving on because we are bigger than broadcast rights. I think we can say that. So for whatever the future is of the Premier League, I think we should just forget the last season and let's start up again whenever we can with a new season.
I'm really coming around to that as well, which I really was not in supportive of, but I think I agree with you. And at some point, like, it does sink in after a month of this that you're in a once in a 100 years or more situation. You know, it's just not something that, you know, at some point you just have to let go of your idea of what normal is, you know, or like your idea, like, you know. And it's obviously very Liverpool focused because it's the only thing that really matters in terms of this Premier League season. And, you know, I mean, I don't care about player bonuses or, you know, whether, you know, Sky gets all the money they're owed from their contract or whatever, you know?
Yeah. But it does get complicated with the promotion relegation stuff and then mortgages that are on the bubble there. As I said about money before.
But there's legacy and there's record books, you know, and people will talk about this Liverpool team even more if this season gets canceled, right? They'll be so much more famous. It'll be, you know, it's like everyone remembers, like, you know, I mean, any moment, like, you know, the Black Sox of 1919, right? Like a team that famously, you know, like through a World Series, you know, and I know it's not like a perfect example, but it's just like anytime like something crazy or like a perfect like for like comparison, but like anytime like something wild and crazy happens, people will talk about it forever. Like this Liverpool team will be remembered so much better than, you know, the, like, I don't know, like, you know, any of Pep's Man City teams, most likely, you know, it'll be like, it'll be the team that didn't win the title, which in some ways will be even more memorable, you know, than if they'd actually won, than if they win the stupid thing, you know? And so,
wouldn't you like Liverpool to be the spinning top at the end of Inception? You don't know if that Liverpool team keeps spinning or falls over. You don't know.
It's just, yeah, exactly. Like this, like this record books thing, it's like focus on legacy. And this is like a real, like there was this great, blog that existed back when, you know, things like blogs existed called free Darko.
Zanga page.
Yeah. Free Darko, which was a legendary NBA blog and super famous. A lot of people who wrote for it went on to write for a bunch of other places. And I have Free Darko shirts and books, huge Free Darko fan. But they had this idea that the first I can't remember what they said, but it was like the beginning of the season matters, basically. You know, it was like you're making memories any time over the course of a year. It's not all about the playoffs. It's not all about who wins the thing at the end. It's about the experience, you know, will something amazing happen in the first, you know, month of the season or in a particular game or, you know, it's a particular team on an incredible run or a player or whatever. There's always interesting stuff. And, you know, it's like I think that like a lot of the focus on Liverpool is on them like raising a cup and the city having a parade. And I mean, first of all, if they win, there's not going to be a parade anyway, right? We're not going to have parades for like 3 years, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's like, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's going to be a guard of honor.
All those all those crying dads and granddads who have been waiting a generation for this league title will be crying next to their wives who are probably sick to death of eating dinner with them every night.
And then they won the Champions League last year too. That was a pretty cathartic moment. So, I mean, I like Liverpool. I like a lot of our friends, Liverpool fans, but I think I'm with you. I think it's just better to, you know, it's like squeeze it in and then June. And then what happens? You've got to like start the season in October or something, you know, like it's like just, yeah. Just call it off and then just start it in August the way you'd plan to start the next season, you know, and I don't know. But we're not being asked to like forfeit $700 million in payments or whatever. So, you know, in rights agreements. So they'll probably do something.
No problem
stupid.
To me.
Yeah, me either. Exactly. All right. So let's move on to the more positive, the feel good responses. Just a note, Patreon, once again, for May will be suspended. So if you are a Patreon supporter, one, thank you. And two, you will not be charged on May 1st, much like you are not charged in April. It's just, you know, it's a thing we're doing for patrons that, you know, I think you can still take part in the Slack. And if the league resumes, we'll certainly give out all the prizes and all that stuff. But, you know, we just don't feel like now is the time to do that. So hopefully, you know, hopefully there is something in June that we can talk about and we'll get back on our regular schedule of, you know, £2 a week and all that stuff. But that's where we are for right now. But if you would like, if you want to support the podcast or you want to talk on our Slack, I thought there were some very funny responses today to our call for questions for today's pod. You can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And we really appreciate the support. And if you're able to do it, that would be great.
Excellent. Now let's take a quick break. We'll come back with our thoughts and our listeners' thoughts on how we're getting by. Hey gang, with currently no Premier League, no NBA, no NHL, no Major League Baseball, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, my friends, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner BetOnline still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. Josh, we're talking with some friends about getting a poker game going. That's a great way to connect with some old friends that you haven't spoken to for a while. You get to have this passive experience of poker and also a little bit of banter in between. Listen, if poker is not your bag, you're missing the NFL. No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations. You can bet on those too. You can also bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol stock prices, even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Where are they going to have that? Sure, they're going to Zoom the Nathan's hot dog eating contest?
I guess you could, right? Everyone wild. Could do it their own home. Yeah. I want to see what Kobayashi's home looks like.
It's probably, you know, that guy's got a beautiful subway tile backsplash in his kitchen. All right. All that stuff on BetOnline. It's open 24 hours a day. It's all online. You don't have to leave your home. You don't have to break these social isolation rules. You're just having fun. And speaking of fun, use the promo code BLUEWIRE to join today and receive a new welcome bonus. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline.ag, it's your online wagering solution.
All right, Brian, we're back. We put the question out there. How are you passing the time? How are you getting through this? In some cases, people have been home in California, I think it's been more like 6 or 7 weeks. In New York, we're at 5. I think in London, maybe it's closer to 3 or 4. So how are people getting by? How are they having fun? Brandon, we've broken this out in a few different categories. The first category, maybe the, I guess it's probably the biggest category here, Brandon. Lots of different responses. Mm-hmm. Are games. Okay, games. Makes sense. The kind of like people games. Who like a fantasy Premier League podcast also like all different kinds of games. It's not a surprise there. Championship Manager 01, 02, and Virtual FPL, Brandon. Those are kind of the two big ones. I'm not partaking in either one. And you are doing the Virtual FPL, though, right? Is that what it's called, the Virtual FPL, the one that's being run through?
Yeah, it's called Virtual FPL. It's run by the fine folks at livefpl.net, and you'd know livefpl.net from the regular FPL season. You can go there to check your live score, how your rank is doing, bonus points added in, how are you doing compared to your mini league rival, that sort of stuff. So the minds at livefpl.net have created this virtual game in which they are simulating through a computer. They're not crafting, fictionalizing these narratives. They have actually fed this information, all this data from Premier League stats and historical stats into an algorithm, and it spits out simulated results of matchups, right? So you pick an FPL team just like you would.
So it's fantasy football.
it's yes, exactly. It's virtual fantasy Premier League.
Yeah.
It's been going for 3 game weeks now, which is a little strange in that the game weeks are coming thick and fast. There was one game week last weekend, and then this weekend there was a game week yesterday on Saturday, then there was another game week on Sunday. The fourth game week kicks off on Tuesday, I believe it is. But it's not too late to join if you want to. And I found it's actually pretty liberating. Like, I am not tied to, like, my feeling of myself, my sense of pride and purpose is not defined by my virtual FPL score the way it is defined by my regular FPL score.
Right. Like, when, so it's not like when you and I are side by side at the Black Horse and we're both boiling with a thinly disguised rage over what's happening in the results.
Somehow I've been able to shed that. So it's a great way to sort of scratch that itch. You can go through the motions of setting an FPL budget, picking a team based on the fixtures, and then seeing how the points roll in. And it's cool. And then livefpl.net sorts out what your ranking is. With, I think there's around 2,500 managers in the game now. But if you want to sign up and get in there ahead of the fourth game week, just go to livefpl.net/signup. And I'll put the link in the show notes here so you can click through to the show notes for a live link.
This is some free bonus advertising right here, Brandon.
Well, it sounds like an ad, but I think it is, like, that's our audience, our fantasy Premier League players, and this is basically the closest you're going to get to it. So I feel like it's a drug that we need to get out there to the masses. It's an antidote.
Yeah, I'm not sure why I've been a little unmoved by this and the Championship Manager thing. I don't know why I haven't been able to embrace it or take it on as fun. I don't know, but it's sort of like it's like people who run marathons or whatever. You know, I'm just like, it's not for me, but I'm glad you're having fun. I'm glad that, you know, I don't feel I'm not. It's, you know, it's like, I mean that in any kind of condescending way. I'm just like, I don't even understand why it would be fun, but I'm glad that it's fun for people.
I'll tell you what,
it's much like a marathon.
Why it's fun at the end of the day for me is actually last night I forgot. I was on the couch watching, you know, streaming television with the wife, and I was like, oh, the results are in. And I just went through the 10 fixtures and ran the simulations. It took me like 15 minutes, and it was just like, it was like watching a cool YouTube video. It was just like a mindless source of brief entertainment.
Okay, cool. And neither of us know what's going on with Championship Manager, right?
Far from my mind, yes.
I don't even understand it. I don't even know half the players. It is active, and I respect how active it is. And Dan Henshaw said he's spending his quarantine playing Football Manager 20, which is insanely addictive. And the whole Football Manager thing, just, I don't think it's really a thing that anybody has really been a thing in the United States, as far as I can tell. Do you know any Americans who do Football Manager? It feels like it's kind of passed us by somehow.
I'm curious to play it because everyone who I see online who does play it testifies to its addictive nature. And, you know, we're talking about simulations with virtual FPL. And, I think a lot of the stuff in Championship Manager is run on simulation as well, but you can kind of watch it play out. But I mean, FIFA, EA Sports FIFA is really the only soccer football video game that has come stateside, as far as I can tell.
I guess it's a little like Magic the Gathering or something, where it's like a whole world that I am like scared to even like dip my toe into, because I'm afraid I'll never get out, you know, once I get sucked in. So
it's a bandwidth issue then. Yeah,
it's a little bit of a bandwidth issue, but I also have an addictive personality, and so I know, I mean, you know, if I'm gonna do, you know, if I get into something like that, it'll be hard for me to ever pull myself out. You know, I've gone through this with fantasy sports and online poker and chess and a million other things. So
you finally kicked the smack. So it's a no more. Yeah,
that's
no
true.
More
that one I finally did kick. Yeah. Let's move on to some non-digital things. Peter Blow. And this is, I put this one near the top because I thought it was one of the coolest ideas. Peter Blow said, "We played bingo last night over Facebook Live. If your numbers came up, you had to drink. Since I went through 3 cans and 3 bottles of beer, as well as half a bottle of Bailey's."
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot. I don't know how many bingo cards you were doing, and you know, but I literally like this idea. I don't know if there's like a virtual bingo app or something like that, or you know, a website or something like that. But that does seem like fun to like get on a Zoom call with your friends and do bingo and drink if you win. I don't know. It's intriguing.
I cannot get past the half a bottle of Bailey's from Peter. Give me
a stomach ache. Is that with coffee or just by itself? That does feel like a lot of...
So you're winding down and you're ready to go to bed. And, you know, maybe you've been playing cards with dear old mom.
Sure.
You want virtual one last bingo drink. Maybe you do a little bit of Bailey's on the rocks. Bottle. Yeah, save that for the coffee. I like Bailey's in my coffee in the morning.
You went through a big Bailey's phase, right? You were chicken Bailey's pretty heavily for a while there.
Yeah, you know that scene in Mean Girls where Lindsay Lohan starts giving the queen bee like these granola bars that are actually larded with fat?
Yeah.
Even though she thought they were healthy. I went through a Bailey's phase until I realized, you know, it was killing me in a much more immediate way beyond like other booze. It takes a lot for booze to kill you through means of fat and not calories or destroying your liver. So that's
either way.
Really.
Well done. Yeah. Andrew Sigel said he missed out on his Vegas trip due to quarantine. He had to bring Vegas to him. He had to bring Vegas to me. And, He shared a video, which obviously we can't narrate on here, but I thought it was very impressive because he actually created his own homemade craps game. And he used painter's tape, a children's number puzzle, Sharpies, clay chips, dice, and any backboard. He says any backboard from any standard game will work. And if you go to our Twitter feed, I did share this out, and so you can take a look at it. But I put this one down to the top because I just was impressed by the ingenuity of it. I feel like when you see that, you're like, right, I have not tapped out every idea that I've had for how to pass the time during this, you know? I don't know. It's like, you know, we got some table tennis balls around here. Like my wife and I can start doing flip cup, you know, in the evenings or something just to pass the time. Okay. I don't know. I'm gonna start opening up my brain to more ideas. I think I like this idea.
I'm into any idea that involves utilizing tabletops. So, you know, Andrew's made his own craps table. You could make your own poker table.
Yeah.
Make a makeshift ping pong table. One thing that I've never played, but I'm always envious of people who grew up with Sabutio, and that's the tabletop football game where you have the little, I don't know if they're like pewter players or they're heavy plastic or whatnot, but you actually flick the football players around the tabletop to kick the ball. And there's some tactics that go into it. So it looks like a lot of fun, but the problem is at this point in the quarantine, you have to live with somebody. A, you have to have a Sabutio, you have to have a Sabutio board, and you had to live with somebody who even wants to play this with you. So, you know, two hurdles you have to clear there.
I was reminded of my I'm still thinking about Flip Cup, which was not anyone's suggestion here, but now I think would be a fun thing to do with your partner. And I was reminded of my bachelor party where I think that it was a bunch of us went to a house in upstate New York, and we played. How many hours of Flip Cup do you think we played over the course of that bachelor party?
I mean, yeah, it was all manner of
table.
It was a bachelor party, Josh. It was all manner of games were played. I remember the ping pong more than anything else, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And our friend Mike in the bathrobe.
Good memories. Just good times. Mm-hmm. James Holland says he logs on around 7 p.m. every night to play Ticket to Ride with friends. And so I didn't get a chance to follow up with him about this. Ticket to Ride is a really fun game if you've ever played it. It's actually a game you can play with two people too. So, you know, a lot of the best board games are like the really Settlers of Catan, the more in-depth ones, are really games that require at least three people, you know, if not four, to be played effectively. But Ticket to Ride, you can absolutely do with two people. But I don't know how, you know, there must be a digital version of it or something, because there's a lot of little pieces involved. A lot of, you have to make, basically make train sets all over that connect, you know, the country. And it's a pretty fun, have you ever played Ticket to Ride, Brennan? It's a pretty fun game.
It's been recommended to me by a handful of people, and with the most straightforward sort of, you must play Ticket to Ride. And I feel like it's like all my friends who got married, they subsequently came back and said, you know, you have the conversation of like, well, what do you do with your spouse? You're with them all the time.
Yeah.
And Ticket to Ride keeps coming up as a game that you can play with just two people. So we have to check this out. We do have to look into this.
Yeah, I think it's an idea. That and Virtual Flip Cup. We're going to work on both of those.
Okay.
FPL Mikey says, my partner and I have been doing the virtual pub quiz on YouTube every Thursday. Competing against a colleague and some friends. I think he said it was a little UK focused, but it did remind me of the James Alcott pub quiz that he's been doing on Sundays. It's 1 p.m. US time, 6 p.m. UK time, and it runs for an hour. And but I just think it's recorded, so you can just do it at any time. But that that's really fun, and you and I have done that. And it's really well produced. It's a fun thing to take part in. So virtual pub quiz, though. Yeah. And so what we do in our case is me, you, and our friend Trevor, we all do a FaceTime hangout call. And so we all have the phone, and then we all play together as a team for the pub quiz. And so we're just sort of competing to get the best score we can. We're not playing against anybody else. But that's a pretty fun way to pass the time.
Yeah, we kind of say, can we beat last week's score on the pub quiz? And it's a good excuse for what I have found with the endless Zoom calls that you have with friends and family on top of what you may have for work if you're working from home is you've just run out of things to talk about, because you get on the, you know, I had a phone call with my parents last weekend, this weekend. So what's new? Well, frankly, nothing is new.
Yeah.
So the online pub quizzes is a great way to just get online. You can have a little banter, catch up on what minor incidents may have happened in the last week. You can stay connected. And I mean, I guess you can't really stress enough how being connected with your friends and family is such a help emotionally, and then by consequence physically during these isolated times. Like, it does really lift the spirits to see your friends.
It does.
And to connect them and whatever sort of like sort of tenuous way it might be.
I agree. And, you know, I think I feel like a couple of these times where we've done the pub quiz or just hung out, you know, I've sort of been, I wasn't feeling up for it. And then every time, you know, Every time I do, I'm like, yes, I just feel so much better. You know, we have this standing movie night, a bunch of our old New York friend group, and every Friday night. And this last time we all joined on a FaceTime call for 30 minutes, which is, I think, kind of the perfect amount of time. You know, I think it was only really more like 25 minutes because we all had to like rent the movie and queue it up. But Point Break. Yeah, classic. And but that, even like that little like 25-30 minutes of us talking to each other was like, it really lifted my spirits, you know. And so that was definitely fun.
Something that Liverpool has been rolling out on their socials is that I don't know if it's daily or weekly, but it seems like once a week Liverpool shows the starting of the team-wide Zoom call. I don't know if they're doing some sort of digital training session, but you see all the individual players logging in subsequently. Virgil van Dijk is always the first one on the call, and then like Shaqiri logs on. He's like, hello, boys. And then Virgil is like, hey, boys. And then Mo Salah gets up, gets on the call, and Virgil is like, hello, Mohamed Salah. And Mo Salah is like, hello, Virgil van Dijk. And Klopp is in the background being like, oh, yeah, I got the barbecue out today. It was a great day for a barbecue. It's just
wow. I don't even think I need to watch it now. You just like relay the whole thing.
It's like a Nutty Professor style, like one man play. My point is, though, it the energy there is really cool. It's really cool to see people still having those connections.
Being human.
Another piece of quick piece of advice, though, regarding the movie night that you mentioned that you and I, our friends have, mm-hmm. is so we watch a movie together and we don't. We're not on Zoom. We're not on a video thing while we watch the movie. We're just chatting on Slack. It's all just text-based messaging.
Yeah.
And I feel like people might be overlooking more passive communication during this time. And I think it's fun, particularly with a larger group, cut out the video and focus on just text threads.
Yeah.
And that's a fun way to keep the thread going without having to be so entranced by it.
I think that's true. And, you know, you can create a free Slack network, you know, an entire network just for your friends. And you can do it in about 45 seconds and you can invite everybody to it. And it's really, it's very easy to do. And so that's what we ended up doing for this movie night. And I agree. I mean, it's literally just like 12 people all firing joke on top of joke, you know, and it's really, it's sort of, I wouldn't say competitive, but it's like, it's very rapid fire. And I think it's more fun than just like, if we're all on a Zoom call and, and worrying about
talking over each other,
just talking over each other. Yeah, exactly. So last game is a JMO says, get a lot of joy out of Zoom hosting Jackbox games. I did like this because he accidentally at Jack in the Box, the restaurant, instead of Jackbox, which is a separate company. And so at first I thought he was Zoom hosting like Jack in the Box was like venturing into the world of online games or something. But apparently Jackbox is a separate thing. He said, who knew laughing?
I play Jackbox games. Yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay. And he said, who knew laughing over friends? Just to finish what he said here. He said, who knew laughing over friends barely drawn sketches from geographically separate locations could be so fulfilling?
Yeah, it's great. I have played Jackbox games before, and it's a bevy of just party games, like games you can play with groups of people through a video game console. I don't know if you can do this on your mobile phone as well, but yeah, that's a good call, JMO. Into it.
Yeah, and so that's the game section. So hopefully you got some ideas out of there. Brian, I know you're pretty excited about the Flip Cup thing, so I'll keep you posted on that.
Please do, yeah.
Yeah, I guess you really wouldn't want to have your like laptop streaming it, though, right? There's a pretty good chance of some spillage there. So, yeah, it might be something you have to do with your own roommates or spouse. All right, let's move into the food section, okay? That was the longest section. We got a couple short, quick hit sections to go here. Bayern Brew, I think, sums it up for most of us when he says, been baking bread, I guess. That's
yeah,
that's where we all are.
You are not on Instagram at this moment unless you've posted a picture of bread that you have baked during self-quarantine.
We just bought a new Dutch oven specifically so that we can make more bread. That's where we've gotten to. It's do you have a Dutch oven already?
No, we don't have a Dutch oven.
Yeah,
we don't.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't have any place to put something like that. But
yeah, neither do we. Neither do we.
But Bayern Brew is right. Like, bread is awesome. Who doesn't like bread? And bread goes with every meal. And we need to eat. You know, we're stuck at home. You can make sandwiches out of it. You can dunk it in soup.
That's true.
You can just eat it by itself.
You can make it toast and throw it at Rocky Horror Picture Show reenactments. Lots of different ways.
Yeah,
to do it.
John Robson chimes in and says, "I've made more bread than I've ever made before in my life. It's getting out of hand, but I can't help it." Here's my thing on bread, and also baking. So, I don't want to be like Cro-Magnon, like my wife cook for me, sort of a guy. But cooking is just not. Yes. it just doesn't bring me joy. And my wife does a lot of the cooking, and most of my one of the big roadblocks for me with cooking is I'm not creative in that way. My brain doesn't think, and I think that can be a big hurdle for people who are not comfortable in the kitchen to get into the kitchen. And therefore I cannot recommend baking enough, because baking is not cooking. Baking is just how closely can you follow directions, and that's something that most of us, if not all of us, can do. And there is nothing more satisfying than baking, because if you follow the directions, 9 times out of 10, it's going to come out close to what it was meant to be, and you're going to be so fulfilled eating that baked good. So I think that's a great starting spot for anyone who is kind of trepidatious about getting into the kitchen.
I would recommend for anybody who doesn't have it, anyone who's thinking about getting more seriously into baking, is to get a digital scale, which is, they're not that expensive and they're a very useful tool to have. And if you really want to get into baking, a lot of baking is in very specific like grams, you know, it's not just like one cup or one teaspoon or whatever. Mm-hmm. And with a digital scale, you can really get down to the exact gram that you're looking for. And it's very, and like you said, it's, I like that following directions part of it too. And that's why I like baking more than like cooking soup or whatever, where it's like, well, if it doesn't have enough of this, just add a little bit more, you know, and you're like, ah, that's stressful. Like, I want it perfect. I want it the way it's supposed to be, you know? And it's a real split in our household, because my wife is very good at that part of it, where it's just like, yeah, I'll add some, you know, I feel like adding more scallions to this. So I'm just going to go do that. And you're like, well, it didn't say you could do that, you know, it's like, it's not part of the recipe. So,
so yeah, I'm with you. Could screw it all up and then you just waste an entire soup. So nobody wants that.
Yeah. So I don't know, Brendan, if you have a digital scale, but if you don't, I recommend it, because it really is very satisfying to get like 300 grams of something like perfectly measured out.
I've had it recommended to me before. And I mean, the only cheat I have, there's an app that I have on my phone called Converter. Hmm. And you can have it currency, liquid, mass, all sorts of things. So I use that. Okay. But as you say, it's all well and good to convert, like, okay, so I have a tablespoon. How much is that in ounces?
Yeah.
You can convert that. But then to actually produce it physically for the recipe, that's what you need the scale for.
I wonder if there's an app where you can just put something right on top of it and it'll tell you what the weight
that'd
is.
Be great.
It's a smart idea.
Soon.
I shouldn't even articulate this in the podcast. Save this for my own design.
Yeah. You've got your scale idea for the phone, and I've got my Akira 2 screenplay that I have to write.
Bursting with ideas right now. James Holland, with a healthier thing, although I've been thinking about trying to do this for our roof. He says, I've been planting loads of vegetables. My vegetable garden has never been in such a good position. Things are starting to poke their heads through. Tomato plants, 50 of them in their final positions. Seeds lined up, ready for May. Will be fruit and veg self-sufficient by the end of June. Can you believe that?
That's incredible. He's like a doomsday prepper, James is.
He's ready to go. Producer
James, we should say. That's awesome. We would love to do that, but we don't have any, you know, we live on the top floor of a brownstone. We have no open space of any kind.
Yeah.
There's like a hatch to get up on the roof in case there is a fire, but up on the roof, it's just black tar and it's terrible.
Right.
So what we've actually done is there's not a lot of light in our apartment, except for where our bed is. So what we actually realized is there's a skylight in the hallway outside of our apartment. Great use of a skylight. Whoever built this building, like, cool. I mean, I'm sure they built this before it was separated into apartments.
Spider-Man, Brendan.
So we've got an herb garden going in our hallway. You know, some herbs are living longer than others. I'll say that much, but. Yeah, you know, I think it's another thing that, you know, the theme is feel good, be positive, be upbeat. It's another thing that where you can feel like you're doing something to grow a plant or a herb or a vegetable or herb, as my wife calls them.
Right.
It gives you this great personal satisfaction. I love it.
Yeah. And if you want to feel good about yourself and you're listening to this podcast and you have a backyard, you should feel great because for people who live in Brooklyn right now, all of the things that make living in New York great are wiped out by this. You know, it's like so many of the things, I should say, you know, it's like you just don't live in your apartment. You know, when you live in New York, there's always things to do, you know, and that's sort of, if that's not what you want to do, you probably won't live here very long, you know? And so not having anything to do and then being in apartments and not even having a backyard, you know, like I would just kill to have a backyard, mm-hmm. a deck, or just like a place where my, you know, where the kid could run around, you know, it's just sort of, you know, so yeah, I think it's a small, it may not seem like much if you have one, but it's actually, we're all insanely jealous who those of us who don't have it right now.
Yeah. Last note on food, something that we've been really sort of gathering around is the 6 o'clock, like the happy hour cocktail, and trying to mix a new cocktail at home every evening. And that's another reason to get an herb garden going, is that's a great way to class up a cocktail, is throw a little fresh rosemary or mint in there.
Anyone you've made the last couple of weeks that you'd recommend, any particularly good cocktail?
Well, you know, we're not doing anything that's like wholly outside of the box, but the Negroni is one that we've just been jamming on pretty hard. And a Negroni is equal parts gin, sweet vermouth, and Campari. And it's just the Campari gives it this dry sort of bite. And then the sweet vermouth also just makes it very smooth. And then, of course, there's gin, and gin is delicious. And you have it over ice. It's just a great way to signal the workday is over. Let's relax.
Okay.
So the Negroni, that's my drink.
I have to get myself some Campari this week. All right, let's move on to books and culture. Harry Alexander says the Red Rising audiobook trilogy is, in my unimportant opinion, don't sell yourself short, Harry, the pinnacle of audiobooks. Always worth a listen. All right, so I did do a quick Wikipedia search. Red Rising trilogy, Brandon. Pierce Brown, dystopian. Sounds a little Dune-ish to me. So okay. You've read Dune, right?
I have read Dune, and Dune is awesome. And I read Dune, I don't know, like 20 years ago. It wasn't like I read Dune when I was 12, and I thought it was awesome because I was 12. Mm-hmm. But I read Dune when I had read, like, other books, and I still thought Dune was awesome, and which is a testament to it, because at this point it's, you know, it's what, like 50 years old, Dune? It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, and you've got this new Denis Villeneuve Dune movie coming, not to totally undercut Harry's pick of the Red Rising audiobook trilogy, but now I think Dune is a great quarantine read for sure. I had to reread this note from Harry, though. I immediately read this as the Red Riding trilogy that we were just talking about David Peace the other week, but I had never heard of Red Rising by Pierce Brown. Sounds cool.
Yeah. That's what I thought too. FPL Classico recommends Casa de Papel season 4. This is known as Money Heist in the US, Brandon. But I think that House of Paper sounds so much cooler. Money Heist has been advertised to me, I think, literally every time that I've popped onto Netflix for the last like 3 months or something. I have never watched any of it. I honestly thought it was a movie and didn't realize it was a series. If it was called House of Paper, I may have been more interested. Money Heist is so generic. I couldn't get excited about that. Have you seen this ever? Have you seen Money Heist advertised before?
I am in the same boat as you, Josh, in that I've seen the ad for Money Heist, and I have just glossed over it because I was like, oh, Money Heist. Yeah, I bet I know what this is about.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that El Clasico has actually given it a full-throated recommendation. So I'll check it out.
And Ryan Dika says he's starting to binge watch The Wire, which is kind of a classic quarantine move. I've been trying to get my wife to sign off on a binge watch The Wire, and it has not worked so far. This is I keep working on it. Maybe we enter month 12.
What's the roadblock, do you think? With
she knows it's going to bum her out, you know. And so, like, so I'm like, do you want to sign up for anything? I mean, the Wire is a great show, but it's a colossal bummer. I mean, you know, it's like a
yeah. Well, I was actually thinking about this because we started a rewatch of Mad Men a couple of days ago, and this is like my third rewatch of the show. And
wow,
Mad Men is just an all timer, and I was thinking about it in relation to other those like golden age prestige TV shows like The Wire, The Sopranos, and Mad Men is it's not a show in which like, oh, which character is going to get got at the end of this season. It's I mean, it's a show about specific white people who work in a professional office environment. But at the same time, there is kind of a character that speaks to every piece of your life. And there's something that I get to take from every episode that I feel like is relatable. And that, but the melodrama is there to keep the propulsion going. But still, I feel like I'm with friends every time I watch Mad Men. So, I like, you start from the beginning, you're like, oh, right. Like, I know everything about this person. They're a familiar friend to me. And I really love that about that show.
Well, that I think that makes sense. I have also rewatched it once, and I enjoyed it immensely as well. I've never rewatched The Wire, although I've watched Band of Brothers about 9 times.
Yes, and, that's a great one.
Kind of a bummer, that show too, but it's so great. It's more action packed, I guess, too. So it's a little more like fun in a way. You know, the way I'm more. I rewatched The Great Escape recently too, which is real. That's a blast. So I recommend that one as well.
Well, there are heroes in Band of Brothers. The Wire is so real. I mean, it's hard to have heroes when there's a show about infrastructure.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's I mean, although, you know, McNulty, I mean, come on, you know, he's great. I miss McNulty in my life, if nothing else.
Bunk. He's a real one for sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Then we move on to the general category, Brendan. Here, a few extras. Benny Blanco says, my new hobby is shouting obscenities out the window at people breaching social distancing rules, then ducking before they see me because I'm a coward. I like this. I don't actually, I try hard not to say anything. I mean, I try hard to even think negative thoughts when I see people breaching the rules, because I feel like you don't know what they're going through. You know, maybe they're, maybe they've already had it. I mean, a lot of people already had it in New York, you know, so they could have antibodies or, you know, and I mean, assuming that they've gone through 2 weeks of self-quarantine, you know, once it was passed as well. They're, you know, or whatever. Maybe they're just like, maybe they have a hard time breathing with a mask. You know, that for me, it's like, I feel like I'm going to hyperventilate every time I walk around with the mask on outside. And so, not to get too serious here, but yeah, go ahead.
It's been a really good piece of advice that I was given about your work life and, you know, those interactions you have with a coworker where you're just not satisfied and that you feel like they were being short with you or mean to you, or they weren't understanding you in a way that you thought. And you always take it personally and you're thinking, well, what have I done? And to step back and say, well, always, you didn't do anything. It's probably just something that's going on with that other person. They woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or they're experiencing a bad thing from some other end of the workplace, or their boss, or their subordinate. It plays both ways, and that's always good to remember. But I think Benny didn't want to get like an actual answer to this question. I do relate, Benny.
Yeah,
in that I always see things, particularly in like high stress moments like this, you always see the people who are operating outside of the rules. And, you know, we believe in justice at Always Cheating.
Yeah.
I don't believe in VAR, but I believe in justice. And sometimes justice is a little more naked than that. But you want to point out when there's injustice, but you don't want to be the one that's seen rocking the boat. That's totally a harder road to hoe. Yeah.
Also, we've really struggled to get my daughter to wear a mask when she goes outside. I mean, not that we're going outside all the time, but like, you know, just she has to get out occasionally. And I do sort of find myself in that position where I'm like, I want somebody to say something. I wish I'm so ready. I'm so ready to go off at anybody who dares say anything to me. You know, it's like, I'm like, I would want nothing more than to just like get into it with somebody, you know, like just to like blow off some steam. It kind of depends on your personality. Yeah.
I got into it with somebody today.
Really?
Yeah. You know, so I'm out walking around the park, which is between your apartment and my apartment. And, you know, there are all these rules, right? Like you got to stay 6 feet apart or 2 meters, you know, depending on if you're on the metric system or whatever system, sure. What the people system can is that we're on.
Yeah.
you gotta wear a mask and all this sort of thing. I'm walking down the sidewalk and somebody comes up behind me on their bike, ringing their bike bell, bling 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 bling, like get out of the way.
Yeah.
And I move really forcefully and I move out of the way, and they stroll on by with their bike on their bike, and I just yell, "It's a sidewalk!" And they kept riding. So I don't really get into it with them, but I just thought it was kind of hilarious in this current crazy time. The mm-hmm. one thing that I'm yelling at people for outside is riding their bikes on a sidewalk.
Yeah, a very Seinfeldian moment, right? It's like, why do you park in a driveway and drive in a parkway?
You know, it's not homework. You're not working on your own.
Preethi, our friend, says, I'm watching movies with my friends on Friday nights. And we're part of that group, Brandon. So, yes, Friday night movies, a standing Friday night movie is, I think, the classic, simplest way to stay in touch with your friends. And what else do you have going on anyway, right? So pick, I think the rules are, the rules we've kind of loosely established are, it's got to be at least 25 years old, right? I think anything newer, we don't want it to be anything that we have to actually watch it, right? In theory, at least most of us have seen every movie that we're rewatching. Now, the Point Break, I was surprised how many people had never seen it before in our group of friends.
I think it should be an older movie so that people who have seen it don't have to pay that close of attention. But also, I think the key to bantering with your friends during a movie is it can't be a good movie. Because if it's a good movie, people are prone to moments of reverie. Like, oh, yeah. And just like this scene is just like, oh, my God. And no
Point
one
Break was
like
Point Break was almost there a couple times. There's a couple moments where it was like no one was talking because it was so good.
But still, yeah, you want the movie to be open to smart, witty repartee, and I think that's a way to cut loose. I think the key for me for like the movie night that we have every Friday night, what I like about it is it's a standing occurrence, and everyone, it's assumed that it's happening. It's assumed everyone's going to be there. Yeah. And I love that I can look forward to it because it's no nonsense. Everyone's going to be there. It's happening.
Yeah. And just one thing I would add is just let somebody be in charge. You know, like you can pick some movies together, but what has worked well for us is we've basically been picking like the next 2 weeks of movies at a time and doing it very quickly with like a quick poll with our friends. And then it's like, okay, now it's done. Like, this is it. You know, it's not like, cause sometimes it's like, I don't know if you ever like, you know, planned a vacation with somebody who doesn't really want to be in charge. And they're like, all right, here's 37 different links. You know, it's like, I need you guys all to do a ton of research and think this all through. Yeah. What do you think? And just like throw it out there. And it's like, just have somebody be like, all right, we're doing it this time every week. And here's pick one of these four movies, you know, and then go from there. And so I think that people want to be nice, but it's you need to have somebody just like cut through the bullshit a little bit or cut through the politeness, you know.
Yeah, it also helps to have a really great group of friends, which we are blessed to have. Next question comes, or next comment about general things that you're doing to get by comes from our friend Sam Danby. In Norway, Sam says, we just started training again this week. And Sam is a professional football player. I think he comes from, I'm going to totally screw this up, Sam, but somewhere in the Newcastle area, I feel like somewhere in the Mid-East or Upper East part of England. And he moved to Norway to actually play some professional football. So Sam says, in Norway, we've just started training again this week, which has been nice. And kindergarten opens tomorrow. Also running competitions. So this is what you do when you're actually a physically fit person is you exercise. So this is the question I'll put to you, Josh. Like, how do you feel quarantine has been for your physical fitness, and what are you doing? What can we do?
Yeah, trying to take lots of walks. The food and drink thing is like, it's just that's a hard thing to manage, because if you're going to sit around all day and eat healthy, because like, you know, there's two ways to lose weight, right? It's like either you exercise a lot or you eat fewer calories, right? And eating fewer calories when you're home and there's nothing to do, it just feels cruel, you know, to just be like, all right, I'm going to stay home and I'm just going to eat salads all the time. And then it's like, what is there even to look forward to in a day? You know, it's like, it can't just be getting angry on Twitter. Like, there has to be something to look forward to. And I feel like meals is just like one way to do that. So my daughter and I have been like trying to find like little pre-K workout videos on YouTube, and we're streaming those.
This year level, right, Josh?
Well, to be honest, like at first I was like, oh, this would be kind of fun because it'll be easy for me and she'll have fun. And I have found them all like really hard. And they're just, because a lot of it's just like running in place, but it's like, you know, if you run in place as a 4-year-old, that's like, they've got lots of energy. They can do that. But, you know, if you're running in place at, in your 30s, you know, it's like, you like burn a lot. It's like, you're like, I'm like sweating by the end of all of these. And so, so that's been kind of fun. And then just trying to walk and I guess cut down on the snacking, you know, and, all that stuff, not drink as much. But no, it's been awful. I mean, I think we're all going to put on, you know, I the COVID-19, like the 19 is going to sort of refer to like the number of pounds we're all going to gain, you know, by the end of this thing.
Yeah. And I think that's okay. I mean, we all want to be physically fit, and being fit will help you stave off illness. And
yes, that's true.
It's all part of a piece. But at the same time, like this is a unique, trying time. So don't beat yourself up if you're putting on a few pounds. And
yeah,
it's just going to be the nature of the beast.
Yeah, I've been trying to eat more vegetables, I guess. Like, that's the boring answer. It's like we're trying to crank that up a little bit. It was not great the first couple of weeks. A
little better. I feel like, I'm like drinking a lot more just because it's just like a interesting way to pass the time, but I've been eating so much more healthy. Like, our meals are much more planned out, and we're cooking a lot more. So we're more in control of what we're putting into our bodies. But we sort of skated over the underlying theme of Sam's comment. He's in Norway, as we said. He's he's training again with his football team. His daughter's back in kindergarten. I think he has a daughter. His kid's back in kindergarten, and everything is apparently better in godless Scandinavia.
Ugh, kindergarten open tomorrow. Oh, that sounds so great. So jealous, Brandon. And last but not least, Red Dagger says, "I have now completed Pornhub." So thank you.
Congratulations
to him. That's quite an accomplishment. It must have taken a lot of hours. And so
it's like reading War and Peace.
Yeah, it really is. It takes a lot of you got to put in several hours a day, which I guess now you do have the time to do it. So so someone finally did it, Brandon. So congratulations to Red Dagger. And on that note, we are going to end this week's podcast. Thank you to everyone for listening to the podcast. A special thanks to our patrons, of course, many of whom had comments that were contributed to above. And you know, to thank you if you're, you know, just if you continue to listen, even if that dumb Pornhub joke that we just did, if you continue to listen, even though there is no season, we really do appreciate it. And obviously, we want the season to be back as soon as possible. You know, we're still enjoying doing these podcasts. It doesn't feel like any kind of massive burden. So we're going to keep doing them as long as we, you know, still have ideas. And hopefully by the time we run out of ideas, there'll be, you know, Premier League stuff to talk about.
Please,
you know?
I mean,
we've come up with something every week so far. So we'll keep it going, as long as we can. And, but thank you to everyone for listening. And if you'd like to support the pod, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can say thanks. You can also go to the Always Cheating shop. So if you know, if you're looking for a mug or a t-shirt or a sweatshirt, and that is something you could just that will, I believe, ship right now. I think those are still all shipping.
Yeah.
So
that's right. Yeah.
So you could support us that way too, and get something for lounging around your house. I actually don't have an Always Cheating sweatshirt, Brandon. We need to rectify that. Maybe I'll actually, I think when I'm done with this podcast, I might pop on and buy myself a sweatshirt.
You've earned it. You've earned it, Joshua.
I have earned it. So thank you though for everyone who listens to the podcast, and special thanks to our patrons. Brandon, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
I will thank our patrons. And just to quickly add on to what you said, we still have things to talk about, and I look forward to this every week too. It's great to catch up with my best friend and chat about whatever's going on, but it kind of means that much more. It adds that much more energy to know that all of you out there are listening along with us. And
yes,
it's great to hear from you at the same time. So again, thank you. So our producers, big ups, the best of the best. We've got Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Babas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wegner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kian Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodichtel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Andy Martin, Lindsay Rostow, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, and James Conroy. Don't forget to subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast. I think that's why you're here. So just subscribe. Never miss an episode.
Yeah.
You can rate us on Apple Podcasts. Do that whole thing on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. We're all over social.
Go ahead, I just want to pop in. I forgot to say this earlier, but just a quick shout out to Jim Payne, who is one of our longest patrons and a producer patron of ours, and had a pretty major surgery a while ago. And he messaged us this afternoon to say that he was getting better. And so he is one of the nicest people we know, and he's been with us since the first year of the podcast. So shout out to Jim, and thanks for keeping us posted on how you're doing. So thank you to him.
Nice. Rock on, Jim. You are the man. Glad to hear you're on the mend. So absolutely thrilled to hear that. Yeah, give us a follow on social media for more feel-good stories like that. We're on Twitter, at Hail Cheaters, Instagram, at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/alwayscheating, or send us an email with whatever thoughts you might be having related to who knows what. We're happy to hear from you. HailCheaters@gmail.com. All this and more, including that shop that Josh mentioned. It's at alwayscheating.com. And that's it.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. And, you know, hopefully people will actually put in place some of these game suggestions, and let us know if you do. And we'll share that with anybody who made the recommendation.
Absolutely. And Poku, we know you're out there listening. Let us know how you're getting by. We want to know.
Yeah. Sam folks too. Let us know, guys. It's important. Oh, Lord Soloth too. I mean, really all of the patron saints of the pod should get a real yeah. WhatsApp group going with all these guys, you know, just to keep posted on what's happening.
Mbakani no longer has an excuse. You've held out long enough, Mbakani. Let us know how you're getting on.
That's right.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.